down to the crossroads, fell down on my knees. Went down to the crossroads, fell down on my knees. Ask the Lord for mercy, save me if you please.
My mind is blank.
Yeah, mine too. Hello, everybody. Welcome to WHUS 91.7 Stores. This is the show Crossroads, and I'm your host, Reverend Brian Blair. I'm the priest at St. Mark's Episcopal Chapel here on the campus of UConn, and I have a wonderful guest today, Laura Gyro, and both of us had blank minds. You know, I got to say, though, that's not really how you pronounce your last name, right, Laura?
Actually, my name is from Spain.
Yeah.
And it's Hero.
Okay.
And
thank
you really
you very
wanted
much.
Me to say Hero, right?
I did, but you were being very polite to all of us, you know, Anglos who mispronounce everything. Everyone, we are going to get right into it. We usually have some announcements, but, you know, we just had graduation here at UConn. Things are slowing down, gearing up for the summer. So I hope everyone is enjoying the beautiful weather. I have invited Laura here today because Laura is a practitioner of Kabbalah. Yes, Laura?
Yes, I am.
Well, why don't you, if you don't mind, kick us off by telling us a little bit about Kabbalah.
Okay. What Kabbalah is the definition, the translation of Kabbalah means receiving.
Mm.
And it is receiving knowledge of how things work. For everything to manifest, there are things that happened before, and it's giving us, Kabbalah gives you the tools to understand what happened behind the scenes and give you a little bit of control on how to make things happen in a way that is more harmonious for you.
You know, it's interesting. We were talking earlier, and I just may have put two and two together. Didn't you say in college you were working on being an engineer?
Yes.
Isn't that what engineers do?
Probably, yeah.
Figure out how things figure work out. Behind the scenes, put two together.
But now I'm going more in the spiritual
of
path.
Of course, of course. But I just noticed the pattern right there, figuring out how things work. Very good. Well, what else could you tell us about Kabbalah, maybe assuming that people might not be familiar?
Mm-hmm. There are different branches of Kabbalah and also different ways to absorb Kabbalah. The first time I connected was through meditations. I always wanted to meditate. And this idea of being sitting quiet for many minutes and trying to get something out of it did not work for me. So I was introduced to a Kabbalah meditation. And on my first meditation, I felt like some kind of thing going through my body. So I felt something physical.
Could you describe it anymore? Was it like electricity?
It was like electricity the first time. Probably the next few meditations was like having ants walking on my head, on the top of my head. It was uncomfortable, but it was okay. Something is happening here. It's not like I have to sit down and just do nothing and try to keep my mind blank and not think about anything, which actually make you think about things.
Right, sure.
So when I felt it physically, that excited me. I said, well, there is something here. And my heart started going crazy. And it's like, I have to do more research. And through the more research, connecting with teachers and YouTube videos and books, then I connected with more instructions about meditations. So you start with basics, working with the 72 names of God, which are 72 codes, and each code is a combination of three Hebrew letters. So each code calls for a specific energy. You have the energy of healing, the energy of abundance, the energy of removing karma, 72 different aspects, things that need to, that can be improved in your life. That kept me going for a whole year.
Oh, okay. Do you have an example of a couple of those 72?
For example, if you put the letters hey three times, hey, 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 that calls for priestly blessings. So it's receiving the unconditional love, the support of God. So what you do is you visualize the symbol three times and you illuminate, you activate that energy and then you receive. But the great thing about Kabbalah is when you call for those energies, you're not calling it only for yourself, because at the end of the meditation, you have to send it and share it with others. So every time that you call for these energies, not only you receive that unconditional love, you receive that light, but also you get the opportunity to share it with the world.
So you started to practice this how long ago?
Only 3 years ago.
And you said just sort of generally you were introduced to it. How did you get introduced to it? Did you meet someone?
Funny, yeah. Actually, I went to a Reiki session.
Oh.
And I received a message that for the next year, I was going to study different practices. And by the end of the year, the teacher, this is the message that I received, the teacher that would bring me to my next level will show up. So that year, I ended up studying different modalities of sound healing, Tibetan bowls, crystal bowls, many different. I got my Reiki master. And by the end of, by December, a year from my message, my Reiki teacher that I haven't talked to her in 6-7 years, she called me and she said, "Do you want to learn Kabbalah?" And I was like, "I don't know what Kabbalah is." But because I remember the message, I remember that message of you're going to meet your next teacher. It's like, I don't care what Kabbalah is because you are my next teacher. So I do want to learn Kabbalah. And that's how I connected. And she taught me the first how to do a meditation. And that's when I felt the energy going through my body. So something opened there.
Well, just briefly for our listeners, right? You said, use the term, I received a message. Now, for a lot of people who just think in sort of a Western style, literal way, just we're talking about having a sort of mystical experience, right? And so maybe an inner voice or something a little less than definable told you. Yeah? Is that a good way to describe it?
It is. It is hard to explain.
Yeah.
You feel sometimes like you have family or friends. You feel the love. And with that love came that voice.
You know, I really like that you use the word love and that you said, you know, you feel the love. Like, I think in popular culture and sadly in movies, I don't go see horror movies, but they pop up on commercials all the time. So I know that... people like to talk about things like visions or feelings in terms of them being unpleasant, but you're doing something different that I appreciate, which is you're saying it comes with a sense of love.
Yes. Love and peace.
Thank you very much. So being at peace,
yes,
feeling a sense of love. We sometimes talk about the prophetic in Christianity, and I know elsewhere too, but I'll talk about Christianity being a priest. And I like to say that it's not really prophetic if it doesn't feel like love. It may feel like tough love. It may not feel entirely pleasant. Like, you know, I go to the doctor. The doctor does things to me that aren't always pleasant, but I know it's because the doctor cares about my well-being, right? And I'm really glad that you said your sense of it was that it was loving. And I also like that you used the word peace.
It reminds me, you know, my experience when my grandma will hug me. And I would just lay my head on her shoulders and I knew that everything was okay. That she loved me unconditionally. And it was not much for me to do, just being there, receiving, being taken care of, being loved. That state that you want to stay there forever. It's sometimes hard to come back because duality disappears and it's all good.
Oh, very interesting way to describe it. Use that term duality. Yeah. Now we're off on a different tangent. Is that one of the things that Kabbalah asks people to explore or to experience, that it teaches things, there is no dualism?
Well, one of the things that I understand is this world was created based on duality. So the first word of the Torah is Bereshit, which starts with the letter Bet, and Bet is the number 2, meaning that the creation of this world was for us to experience duality, was for us to experience some kind of separation, what I'm finding is that once we when we accept the separation, then there is a need for us to go back to source. So kind of when a teenager leaves their home because they want to be all independent, but then you find out that how good was living with pop and mom, and then you kind of come back in a way, but appreciating now everything that you have and knowing that it's going to be always yours.
I see.
Does that make sense?
Sure.
Okay.
Absolutely. Everything that doesn't make sense on some level.
Oh,
right?
I like that.
I just made that up. So as a practitioner of Kabbalah, some of the things that you've told us so far suggest to me that you came to this recently, of course. You said only a few years ago. And it's been a bit of an evolution. You mentioned Reiki before. Where do you think your spiritual life started? When you were a child, maybe?
Since I was a little girl, I remember driving my parents crazy with questions. I always, for me, it was always something more than the physical life that we have, the things that we see in front of our eyes. I always felt that love coming from somewhere else, not only my parents and my family. I remember being a little girl and having this exercise of seeing, okay, I'm inside of this room. And this room is inside of this home. And this home is in this town. And this town is in this state. And the state in this country. And we are in this world. This world is in this galaxy. And the galaxy is in the universe. So what is beyond that? It has to be something else that holds the universe. And then with my mind, I would create something. But then something bigger have to hold that in. And I will go for hours. And then at some point, it's like, okay, there is nothing bigger. So that's not real because there is nothing bigger. So everything that is inside is not real. And then I would go to my parents for an answer. And they would look at me like, what are you talking about? But those were the things that drove me crazy since I was a little girl. And then in my teenage years, when life got a little hard, and sometimes you don't feel the connection deeper with your parents at that part of your life, you become a little bit of a rebel. You don't get along with people, you know. At that time of my life was when I started feeling comfortable around spirit, when I felt like nobody could understand me. I felt loved and understood by your spirit. Somehow I always felt they were with me. In my hard times, I always felt... I always have this idea of walking on sand and Jesus by my side. So it's hard for me to visualize Jesus in a cross. I just feel always like this big brother walking with me, having long talks, walking by my side, there to support me no matter what. So that was how I experienced spirituality.
Now, you mentioned Jesus. So when you were back home in Uruguay, you were Roman Catholic?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So you are no longer a practitioner of Roman Catholicism.
That's a good question.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, do you go to a Roman Catholic church?
Sometimes, if friends invite me, if it's an event.
Right.
When I moved to this country, the first thing that I did was connecting with the church and going every Sunday. The thing is, sometimes I don't find the answers. I find the answers by being alone at home and in a state of meditation. And that's when I feel the love. That's when I feel, okay, I'm connected. When I start feeling that peace, that love, it's like, okay, I got a connection now. So I kind of feel more comfortable now being alone, but I still am part of, you know, the community.
Well, that's what's behind my question is just to sort of give our listeners a sense of the idea that people go on faith journeys and that you begin one place and you might be in a different place today.
My main thing now, and that drives me my friends crazy because they get, they care. I like to be alone. I have my little, I call my little cave. It's my room where nobody's allowed to get there. Like all the messes from the house stay in the house, that mommy's room. I go there and that's my space. That's when I want to be quiet, when I maybe some I have oils or crystals that I like to have around and music that help me get into the state of meditation.
Well, that's an interesting question. What kind of music do you use?
I like to put on YouTube 432 HC. I don't know what is the English word for that. It's a frequency.
Uh-huh.
And that's the sound that helped me to get into meditation. But that's prior to the Kavala meditation. When I'm ready to get into the Kavala meditations, I need to turn the music off.
Okay. So we're talking about meditation. You're talking about being fairly solitary, but you share this experience with others, right? And you have a teacher?
Yes. I do have a teacher, and we connect weekly over the phone. She's from New Jersey. Actually, she's from Dominican Republic, living in New Jersey. Then I have a teacher that I follow. He is from Spain. I think I watched over 200 videos. He explained it so hard in 166 videos, 90 minutes each one.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't read it so hard, but I got the 166 videos, YouTube videos. So, and then I connect monthly with another teacher from Scotland.
Well, you use the term Zohar.
Yes.
What's a Zohar?
Zohar, it's a book written in the first century that explains the Torah. And then you have other books that explain the Zohar.
Okay. So people who are not familiar with Kabbalah might be familiar with Midrash.
Mm-hmm.
Are you familiar with Midrash?
No, I'm not.
Okay, so Jewish scholars over the centuries have debated, wondered, questioned Torah and other books of scripture. And Midrash is considered also a way of understanding scripture and entering into a fuller understanding or belief or relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
But this is not what Zohar is.
Zohar tells you stories. Mm-hmm. But each story, you cannot read the story literally. It's a meaning behind it.
Mm.
So it needs to be decoded.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why Kabbalah has been transmitted from teacher to teachers, explaining what is the meaning of all those stories in the Zohar. It's hard for me to explain, but there are codes hidden, there are names of God hidden, there are practices hidden in stories that might have nothing to do with what they're trying to share.
Mm-hmm.
But the value is in the interpretation that you have from your teacher.
So in Christianity, there was a period where there were people who came to be known as the Gnostics, G-N-O. So from the Greek term gnosis, knowledge, is that similar to what you're describing?
It's very similar because now I'm studying the Hebrew letters.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the books that I have to do my research is from Gnosis.
Okay.
So they both work with the Hebrew letters. They share the understanding of what each energy is about. There's a little bit difference here and there, but the basic is pretty much the same.
Do you know when or around what time the Zohar was put together as a book?
It is said that Moses de Leon in Spain put it together in the 13th century.
Oh, okay.
And then there was another person that interpreted and put it in an easy way for all of us to understand. I can't remember his name, in the 16th century.
Okay.
So.
And around the 16th century, you had the invention of the printing press, the Gutenberg Bible right before. So is that when they start to print these up and share them with people?
Yes, and it was, my understanding is that it was first printed by the church, the Roman church.
See, that's interesting.
Yes.
I would look, have you looked into that at all?
No, I haven't.
I'd be curious as to why they would decide that was a good idea.
Well, right now I'm focusing on finding how to move forward. I take this history part of Kabbalah. I appreciate the work of all the masters that have transferred this knowledge and kept it like safe for all of us. But it takes a lot of years going back to review everything, studying everything, and I just feel like my heart is pushing me to actually move forward, try to download information to see with all this that we have right now, how can we adjust for the world that is coming? How can we adjust? How can we use these tools to adjust for the world that is coming?
You know, you use the term download.
Yes.
And obviously you're not a computer.
but
do I understand correctly that it is a part of the Kabbalah, if I can use the term belief system, that we gain knowledge from sort of an exterior source? How does that work?
In my experience, I feel that the books brought me here. And once you start adjusting yourself, when you start making little corrections here and there, that sometimes we must make to become more connected with the light, at some point after we prove that we are interested and really focus on walking this path, it feels like spirit takes over. And at some point, you start receiving the connection is clearer. And what I do now working with the letters, I try to go very early in the morning before sunrise. And I go to a state of meditation, I say the name of the letter, and then I start talking. But I record myself because usually I don't remember what I'm saying. So I record myself, and sometimes like 30, 35 minutes of telling a story. And then I corroborate that story with what the book says. Usually my version, because I don't have all the fancy words, are easier for me to understand and maybe easier for me to share. But it's pretty much the same description of what the books have. So that's what I call downloading. It's just getting a meditative state and allow yourself to express what you are receiving.
Yeah, you use that term receiving, and that's sort of where I'm wondering about the notion of downloading. So that's interesting.
Yes.
You did just in your explanation talk about sharing it. You have a center, don't you?
I do. I do have a little room in my home. I call my studio.
Yeah.
I took half of my husband's garage. He's still complaining about it, but I needed my space. So I created my little place where I invite people. We do Saturday meditations, and those are everybody's welcome. And then I have in the afternoon classes where I share what I understand. I receive information. I receive information from books, from my own download. I try to see if I can apply it in my life. I try to I see if it's something that I can use. And then if I find that it works, then I like to share it with others.
Well, you describe that in a very interesting way because you just say it's something that you learn and then it's something that you share, right? I think most of the time my experience is I hear people who sort of become an authority on something, right? They may get ordained or they may become, you know, get a PhD or whatever. You're just really explaining this like you're a practitioner and you share it.
Yes, that's how I'm feeling. I don't, some people call me a teacher, and it's a word that is heavy for me because I don't consider myself a teacher. I just feel like maybe I have even more questions than everybody else. My life is all questions. So I just don't like titles. I like to keep it simple.
You know, it's interesting. The light bulb just came on. Did you see that in the studio?
Yeah, I'm seeing it.
I never take phone calls, so I never think about the light, but that's because someone's giving us a call. Everybody, if you're out there, we don't do phone calls on the show. I should have announced that in the beginning like I usually do. What I do, however, is you can tweet at me at Rev Blair. So that's R-E-V-B-L-A-Y-E-R, at Rev Blair. If I can get it during the show, that's great. If I can't, I will certainly get back to you. So if you're trying to call in, I'm so sorry. We don't do call-ins. But you can tweet me at Rev Blair, and I will either try to get to you during the show if I can, and if I can't, I will get back to you after the show. Everyone, that's a great time to take a moment just to pause for identification here. This is the show Crossroads. I'm the Reverend Brian Blair. My guest here is Laura Gyro, which is really spelled hero. It's pronounced hero, but she's being polite to all of us who can't pronounce her name. Thank you, Laura. And we're talking about how she is a Kabbalah practitioner. Speaking of all that, you were explaining to me the other day that we are in a particular season post well, I was about to say Easter because I'm a Christian priest, so I'm in the Easter mode. But Passover, 50 days. Can you explain that a little bit to us?
I would try it.
Please.
It represents this idea of liberation. It started with Passover when people, the Hebrews that were slaves in Egypt, were liberated by Moses. So in our lives, what we think of is, okay, I'm liberated. I want to liberate myself. And you pretend that you are already liberated. you have to find some kind of energy that you want to let go for that day. But then is, now that I'm free from this, how I want to rearrange my life, where I want to go, what all the things that I need to be, what are the things that in my life need to be corrected or adjusted in order to express this freedom.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine that you were living with somebody that is always telling you what to do, what to say, how to do it, and now you're on your own.
Mm-hmm.
So how you adjust your life to that? Now that you have the opportunity to become whatever you want to become, that you have all the freedoms, what do you want to do with your life? So we go through a 50 days journey discovering ourselves, seeing, analyzing the things that are happening in our lives. What are those situations making us notice about ourselves? And then realizing what needs to be adjusted, what needs to be corrected. And it says that it's a 49 days inner work. And on the last day, which will represent the day when Moses received the commandments at Mount Sinai, that is when we are supposed to receive also from a spirit a gift.
You know, it's interesting. You were talking about numerology a little bit, especially in the beginning, right?
Yes.
You used the number 72. You just used the number 49.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, 70 is another number. All 70, 72, 49. Numerology is a big part of Kabbalah.
It's a huge part of Kabbalah. And that's something that I'm starting to connect with, too.
Well, you were talking about connecting with, and you were just talking a little bit about these 49 or 50 mm-hmm. days that we're in the middle of. What day are we on today, and what are you doing today?
Oh, today I have to let go of one bad habit.
Uh-huh.
So the thing is, I found I'm analyzing my days.
Yeah.
Because the thing is, while you're doing this journey, life presents itself with a lot of things for you to notice. So it seems like I have more than one bad habit.
Oh, really? What are you, a human being?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just
finding that out. And I want to decide which one is most important for me and work on one, because I don't know if I can commit to more than one. It's so many things.
So wait a second. We're already, it's after 1 o'clock. It's around 1 o'clock.
Yes.
Your day is halfway over.
Yes.
You didn't pick a bad habit yet?
Not yet, but I have until sunset.
All right. Wait, to pick it or to fix it?
Today I'm supposed to start removing that from.
Oh,
so
you have until sunset
journey.
To pick it.
Yeah.
All right. Official sunset time, like if you looked at the news and it said the sun sets at like 7:24, or like when
dark.
You really can't see the sun anymore.
Exactly, that sounds.
Oh, that one.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah.
So but you can kind of play that a little bit where it's like, it's still a little bright outside. I got two more minutes. Well, good luck finding your bad habit.
Thank you.
You know, I would just ask a question quickly. We have about 30 seconds. My concern with something like that as a priest is when I am talking to people who might be part of my church or just anyone who wants to do a little bit of self-evaluation, I worry that people beat themselves up. You don't have the sense, I'm hoping that there's not a sense in Kabbalah of beating oneself up. Rather, it's more like self-exploration. You used the word freedom before.
Yeah, I have to look at myself with compassion and with unconditional love. So, yes, I want to become someone closer to God. I want to become more like that energy that I feel God is.
Uh-huh.
Okay? So what are the little things that I can adjust? Maybe daily, or maybe weekly. And I have my bad days when sometimes I really feel like I did not do it right today.
Uh-huh.
But then I go to sleep, and the next morning I wake up again with the intention of improving. So it's understanding that I'm a human being, understanding that even though I would love to meditate all day, I'm a mom, I'm a wife, I have a job. So, but the little times that I have, or sometimes the little options that I have the freedom to take, make it with awareness of who I want to be. And above everything is looking at myself with love and compassion.
Well, that's a perfect way to end the show. I hope everybody looks at yourself with love and compassion. Everybody, I'm Reverend Brian Blair. I'm the priest over at St. Mark's Chapel here on the campus of UConn, and you're listening to Crossroads. We are done for today. This is WHUS 91.7 Stores. I want to thank Laura, our guest, who has been kind enough to talk to us about Kabbalah. Laura, have a wonderful day.
Thank you. You too.
Try to flag a ride.